ready to get into his automobile, and his friend, this is a friend, told him, say, I'm not going to let you drive that car. Praise God. But you know how drunk folks are. He insisted, I'm driving. I'm going home. He said, no, you're not going to drive that car because you my friend. Praise God. And when he kept arguing with him, he got to the point where he snatched his keys out of his hand and said, you're not going to drive this car. And his friend tried to take the keys from him. And let me tell you something, boy, that boy hit him with a, I don't know if he hit him with an uppercut, a roundhouse, but he hit him, praise God, and knocked him out. Praise God, took him and put him inside the truck. Praise God, drove him back home and walked into his house and told his mama, say, look, I miss so-and-so. I had to cold cock him. I knocked him out because he was insistent in getting in that automobile, and I wasn't going to let him get behind that automobile drunk as he was. Praise God. You know what that mother did? That mother took that boy by the shoulder and she kissed him and said, I am certainly glad that you didn't let that boy get behind that wheel. I'm trying to tell you something. Praise God. If you want to have that abundant life, praise God, it's going to take some social, praise God, that's going to be some social wealth as to what you are going.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community, KAYT.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Amen. Thank you. Sister Nell. We missed that voice in the choir. She ran off and left me as soon as I got here. Thank God for her. Let's continue to pray for her, as well as their family and the loss of the loved one. Amen. Well, I want you to turn with me now in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7. The 7th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Good to see my Ada sitting back there smiling. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Beginning at verse number 21, we want to read verse 21 through 23. And the Lord put this on me because in light of everything that's going on, there are a lot of people who take their hoods off and go to church and praise God and then put them back on and go back out and hate everybody. Something wrong with that. If you guys say amen.
Amen.
And it reads in Matthew the 7th chapter, beginning at verse 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The old King James said iniquity. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God, our Father, we thank you now for another preaching privilege. We ask now that you anoint us freshly with your power, and in that anointing grant us preaching power. And Lord, we be careful to give you all the praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from you, me, you who practice lawlessness. And for a few moments, I won't talk from the subject. Everybody is not going to heaven. Everybody is not going to heaven. And so let me begin by saying this morning, thank you, Ursus, that everyone who claims to be a Christian or a follower of Christ will not go to heaven when they die. But we know the text says in that 21st verse, it said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. And yet, with all the hate going on today, some of these haters believe that if they go to church, do some good works, preach and teach in the church, give money to the church, and act religious in the church, that they are on their way to heaven anyhow. But they will be in for a rude awakening in the judgment. Because we know in 1 John chapter 4, 7, and 8, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God, and he who loves not don't know God, for God is love. And then John also says in 1 John 4 and 20, if someone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's never seen? My brothers and sisters, we need to understand that love is the identifying mark of a Christian. And that's why Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And by this will all men know that you are my disciples, that you are a true follower of me. And so as we make our way to the text, we note that Jesus, near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he takes time to remind folk of the seriousness of their salvation of being saved, meaning he wanted everyone who heard him to be sure that they were genuinely saved. And let me say to us this morning that that's my concern for each of you this morning and everybody who claims to be a child of God as we make ready to observe the Lord's Supper. And so I want us to take a good look at the words of our text as we talk from the subject, everybody is not going to heaven. My brothers and sisters, it's my prayer that you will allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to your hearts today. And it may be that somebody here or someone listening by way of radio who have never been saved or who believe they are saved, but they're not. Well, perhaps this is your day when you truly meet Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. Because the words in verse 21 are the most stunning and the most startling statements in the Bible. Jesus says, not everyone who claims him as Lord is saved. But now, what makes these words so stunning and startling is that he's not talking to the agnostics. He's not talking to Buddhists. He's not talking to Hindus or Muslims, nor is he talking to any pagan religion, but he's talking to those who are in the church claiming to be one of his disciples. In other words, Jesus is telling us here this morning that there will be some folk who think that they are saved and on their way to heaven, but they are not. Point is, Jesus makes it clear that all who profess him don't possess him. And now to profess something means to claim openly about something, but often falsely. Now, in this context, it is to openly and publicly claim to receive Christ as Savior and Lord from the head and not from the heart. Because when something is from the heart, it will bring about a change. And so mere profession of Jesus as Savior is not enough to be saved. A person may believe in the doctrines of faith. They may be sincere and good, but however, merely saying you know Jesus is not enough to save your soul. Belonging to the church, being a good person, doing religious things, and the lack are all good, but none of that can save your soul. Why should we believe this? Well, I believe it's because the Bible has much to say about this matter. For instance, in the Bible, Jesus says, according to Matthew 22:14, he said, "For many are called, but few are chosen." And then in Matthew 13:24-30, in a parable of Jesus of the wheat and the tares, where he tells how the enemy slipped in and sowed some tares or some weeds among the wheat. And the servant asked the master, "Master, do you want us to go out and pull up those tares?" But the master said, "No, because you might mistakenly pull up some wheat." And so he told them to let the wheat and the tares grow together. And at harvest time, the workers will gather the weeds up and burn them, because when the wheat and the tares are young, it's sort of hard to tell them apart. And in the same way in the church, we don't really know who's saved and who's not saved. And therefore, it's not up to us to say who will go to heaven or who won't go to heaven. But as the old Negro spirit to say, everybody talking about him ain't going there. Him. Are you with me? But the Lord knows who belong to him, and he knows who doesn't belong to him. And so in the end, he will do the separating of the genuinely saved and the lost. And that covers the pulpit to the pews. For instance, I'll never forget one day when my late pastor, Pastor Alfred King, and I were going hunting up in Marksville, and I looked over and saw some fields that looked like corn. And I said to him, "We got a whole lot of corn out here." And he said to me, "But that's not corn." And I asked him, "Now, wait a minute, what you mean that's not corn?" He said, "That's what they call milo. Now, it looked like corn, but it's not corn. When it's real young, you can't hardly tell the difference if you don't know about corn and milo." And so, but some years later, I passed some full-grown milo, and then I could see the difference, because it didn't look like corn at all when it was full-grown and it was time for the harvest. And so the master said, "Let the wheat and the tares grow together, and at harvest, I'll have the workers tie up the weeds and burn them up, but the wheat I'll store in my barns." And in the same way, in the end, the Lord will separate the saved from the lost. Those who think they're saved and are not, and those who are not saved, the lost will be cast into the lake of fire with the devil and all of his false prophets. But the saved will go on to be with the Lord in eternal peace and joy. And so Jesus says in verse 21 that not everyone who called me Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he says in verse 23 that those who think they're saved will hear the most devastating words that has ever fallen on human ears. Jesus said, "I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Because they will declare, on that day, "Lord, we preached in your name, and in your name we forced out demons and worked many miracles." But Jesus said, "I will say to them, I never knew you." Well, now, why is this? Because they were never saved, even though they were doing many good things in the name of Jesus. Yes, they were members of the church, preaching and casting out demons and even doing some mighty wonders. But Jesus said to them, "I never knew you." Notice he doesn't say, "I used to know you, but I forgot." But he said, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." And that's why, as Christians, we must have some spiritual checkups. to make sure that we are not deceiving ourselves and trying to earn God's favor through good works and being religious, but are not obedient to God's word and his will. Because we are not supposed to be good and do good to be saved or to stay saved, but we are to do good to the glory of God because we are saved. And that's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:5-6, he says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you know for yourself that Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? He said, but I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Well, why is this? Because we place our hope and eternal life on faith in Jesus Christ, who lives in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. But if your hope is based on good works and good deeds, then Christ is not living in you, and you have failed. You are lost. And so the text says, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. And so the question is, are you doing the will of the Father, or are you just going through the motions? Are you just a professor of Christ, but not a possessor of Christ? Now, that question brings up another question, and that is, what does it mean to do the will of the Father? Well, now, doing the will of the Father is about obedience to his word. It's about doing what the Father asks of us, meaning it's not about what we think or say, but about obeying his will and his commands. But we need to know what it is that God asks us, and that we may be obedient and do his will. Well, my brothers and sisters, Jesus explains what the Father requires of his people when he said in John 6:40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. My brothers and sisters, here we see that the will of the Father is for folk to believe in Jesus Christ. Meaning the Father's will is not about what we are doing or what we think, but to be obedient to his word, which is to believe in Jesus Christ and receive the free gift of eternal life, which brings about a change in our life where hate will be replaced with love. And that's the will of the Father. And then Jesus also says, whoever does the will of my Father is my sister and my brother. In other words, those who do the Father's will by believing and receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord will be adopted in the family of God. And Jesus will become our elder brother. But the text says, everyone who says, Lord, Lord, don't belong to him. And so the key in receiving Jesus as Savior and Lord is found in Romans 10:9-10, that said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he said, you will be saved. But the difference between professing and confessing is found in verse 10 of Romans 10. Remember, to profess means to claim openly, but often falsely, because it's from the head and not from the heart. But to confess means to come clean and mean what you say. Amen. And so we note that Romans 10:11 say, for with the heart, not the head, that one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession and not profession is made unto salvation. And verse 11 goes on to say, whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Meaning doing the will of the Father to be saved is about faith and not religious good deeds. Well, why? Because the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:8-9 that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so when Jesus says to some, I never knew you. Depart from me, despite of the fact that they said, have we not preached in your name, cast out devils, and even done some wonderful works? The Lord says, yes, Lord, I never knew you. Because it is because their supposed claims of salvation was not in the will of the Father, but based on works rather than faith. And that's why the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. And everyone who comes to him must believe that he is, that he's real. My brothers and sisters, faith is what produces obedience to God in his will. For instance, in Matthew 21:28-32, we see Jesus speaking to the temple priests. He was showing them in a message about two sons, what it means to be obedient to the Father by doing his will. Note the Father asked them both to go out into the vineyard and work. Now the first son said he wasn't going, but later he repented and he went on out there and began to work. But now the second son said to the father, okay, daddy, I'll go out and work. But he didn't go. And so Jesus asked the priest, which of them did the father's will? Well, clearly it was the first son, because the will of the father was to work in the vineyard. But in spite of the fact that the first son's first assertion was that he would not go, but he repented and went on to work in the vineyard anyhow. But as for the second son, he said he would go out, but he didn't. But now on the surface, he appeared to be doing God's will, but he failed to follow through on his word, which was only hypocrisy rather than obedience. And so Jesus likened the priests of the temple to the second son, meaning although they had the appearance of obedience by being religious as the second son, they still were out of the Father's will. And so the priests also had the appearance of doing God's will, but they were not doing the will of the Father. Why is this? Because they didn't believe either the words of John the Baptist about the Messiah, nor the teachings of Jesus Christ, who was the Messiah. And so their lack of faith showed that they were not really doing the will of the Father, even though they were going through the motion by doing some religious good deeds, because in reality, they were really opposing the Father's will. Now, the reason we all must learn from this story, the lesson we must all learn from this story, is that we must not fall into the trap of trying to seek righteousness by our works, but we are to trust in God and seek his righteousness through Christ. Why is this? Because our own righteousness, the Bible say, is as a filthy rag, and Jesus is the only path to the kingdom. The bottom line, to do the will of the Father means to believe in the Son Jesus and be obedient to his word. Because the Bible says, John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me. And so the text reveals that everybody will not go to heaven, even those who think they are saved and on their way. Well, the question is, how can a person know that they are saved? Well, it's not by feelings, because feelings are deceptive. And that's why the text revealed that Jesus will say to some who are expecting to be welcome in the kingdom, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. But we can know by faith in the promise of God's word that we are saved. For we know 1 John 5:12-13 say, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I've written this to you who believe on the name of the Son, so that you may know and not guess, so that you may know and not think that you have eternal life. And this life is in the Son. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. In other words, our certainty is based on God's promise and not on our feelings. It's based on the fact of the truth of God's word that we are saved. And so in the text, Jesus says, everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, yes, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now he's exposing those who sounded religious but had no personal relationship with him, because on judgment day, only our relationship with Christ and our acceptance of him as Savior and Lord and our obedience to his word will matter. But still today, many people think that if they're good people and say some good religious thing, that they will be rewarded with eternal life. But Jesus says that eternal life is only given to those who do the will of the Father, and that is to have faith in his Son. Because in reality, faith in Christ is the only thing that will count on judgment day. And so as I try to move to the close, before anybody try to take a nap, the text says that everyone who called me Lord, Lord, will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father will enter. But on judgment day, many will say, Lord, Lord, we prophesy in your name, and in your name we cast out demons, and in your name we've done many wonderful works. But Jesus declares, he said, I will reply, I never knew you. He said, get on away from me, you who break God's law, because they base their hope of salvation on their own works and their own goodness. They chose their way instead of God's way, which is the finished work of Christ on the cross. Because on the cross, Jesus died for the sins of the world. And after being in the grave for 3 days and nights, he got up from that grave declaring, all power in heaven and earth is in my hand, defeating anything and everything that will keep us from entering into a right relationship with the Father by faith and his finished work out there on the cross. And so in closing, let me ask you this morning, have you thought about what Jesus will say to you when you stand in the judgment? Remember now, not everyone who claims him as Lord will get into heaven. Only those who do the Father's will. Well, what is the Father's will? It's about being obedient to his word and his command. Remember I said in John 6:40, but this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son, and in our case, everyone who hears the gospel of Christ and believes, will have eternal life. Because faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. The Bible also says, 2 Peter 3:9, that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Meaning if you're lost, it's not the will of God that you are. And so let me ask you this morning, where do you stand with Jesus? Do you think you're saved? Do you hope you're going to heaven when you die? If so, what are you basing your hope on today? My brothers and sisters, if there's the slightest doubt in your heart that you are saved, when the doors are open, you need to come forth and get it settled right now. You need to get out of your seat and make your way down front and say, men and brethren, what might I do to be saved? Because there is no salvation after death, for it is appointed unto men once to die, and after come judgment. But as the songwriter said, there is a fountain filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stain. That's why my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I dare not trust in the sweetest frame, but I'm a holy lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, I sit on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground.